Today, Debbie Wuthnow, president of iVoter Guide, explains how important it is to be well-informed as we step into the voting booth on Election Day.
Because candidates will say one thing and do something else, so look what they've done and be a good steward and do it with information, not emotion. And that's what iVoter Guide provides you, is that information to vote wisely.
Then, MD Perkins shares a director's perspective on the new AFA feature-length documentary, Culture Warrior.
That's what I hope people take away from this documentary, is a recognition, one, that Don was right to be concerned, but two, that you can serve God in a way that is similar to Don, in that you're trusting God.
It's the weekend of September 14th and 15th. I'm Jeff Shambly, and this is The Stand Radio. Well, all eyes are on the elections coming up in just a few short weeks, and what a roller coaster ride it has been. The presidential race has consumed much of the media coverage, but we also need to think about the other races, both state and federal, that will have a major impact on the way that we live. One thing is for sure, sitting out this election is not an option for believers. Debbie Wuthnow is president of iVoter Guide, a division of American Family Association Action, and she's with us today to talk about a powerful resource that can help you make wise decisions on Election Day. Debbie, welcome.
I'm glad I'm here.
Give us an update on where you are in your work with iVoter Guide, because we're just 7 weeks away from the election. Where are you in all your data collection and all of that?
Well, we've got a lot of the data in place. What we're in the process of doing is evaluating all the candidates.
Okay.
I would call it a tsunami of candidate evaluations.
Wow.
When we look at hundreds of candidates, since we're covering all the way down to state legislative level in so many states, there are hundreds of candidates we are in the process of evaluating as we create our general election voter guides. So we've released about a third of the general election voter guide so far. We should be about halfway done by the end of September. And it's just, it's a huge task as dig through all the data and assign that accurate rating to every candidate that really helps the average voter know where each candidate stands.
You know, to call this a voter guide just seems like an understatement. a voter guide, you think of a pamphlet with a few, of two or three foldouts. You are evaluating not only the candidate's history, but what they believe. And that's intriguing to me, because if you want to make a wise choice for a candidate on whatever level, to get into their minds and to know what they believe is really a level of analysis that we haven't seen before.
And it's done very prayerfully and very diligently, and it's really based upon their actions. I mean, the thing that it reveals what people believe is what they do. Because they'll say one thing, but sometimes they do something different. So that's what all the data is there, is to help us to see what they've done, what their policies have been, what their actions have been, and to intuit from that and their survey answers where they believe and how they will vote if they're elected.
Yeah, you've been on The Stand Radio with me before. For those who have not been familiar with iVoter Guide, tell us what it is once again. It's not a printed pamphlet that you hand out. What is iVoter Guide exactly?
iVoter Guide is a website. You go to iVoterGuide.com and you enter your address and you get a personalized ballot. It is very easy to use, but yet it's deeper and wider than any other voter guide you've seen. As you've said, it's not that pamphlet with two or three candidates and five or six issues. We look at their campaign finance data. We look at how they voted, if they've held office at either the federal or the state legislative level. We've gathered their endorsements. We've gathered links to their website and their social media, so you can see every piece of intelligence we can find about that candidate, including who they've given money to as an individual and their survey answers. And on top of that, to make it really easy to use as that evaluation, as we've talked about, that we show on a gas gauge. So it is not like your mother's voter guide. You really have to check it out yourself to understand it.
All right. Well, most people, of course, tend to be focused on the presidential race, and understandably so. But there are other important races and issues that are covered by iVoter Guide. What are some of those?
Well, we start by covering all the federal races, so president and Senate and Congress, because all of Congress is up in a third of Senate. But in 36 states, we're covering statewide races. So that includes governors, attorney generals, secretary of states, state board of education, even state supreme courts, court of appeals. So those statewide offices that really impact both at the executive and the judicial branch, what happens in that state. And beyond that, we're covering state legislative races, so state Senate, state House, in 32 states. And beyond that, we're covering some school board races in about 11 states, some key school board races, because sometimes those even run nonpartisan. I mean, it's so hard to get information to vote wisely on those school board candidates, but yet they have so much power over the curriculum and what is taught to our children. We're doing some city council races. And then the thing that I'm most excited about is ballot measures.
Okay.
We've seen what's happened in that arena. And iVoter Guide really seeks to get to the truth about what each one not only says, but what it means and what it'll do and who's supporting each side.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because ballot initiatives are worded so in such a convoluted way. It's hard to know, do I vote for this or against it? So iVoter Guide is going to explain what this ballot initiative is and help you understand so that you don't go in uninformed.
Exactly. So, you know, I've been in the ballot, I'm sure you have, before. You walk in and read it and you go, well, what does that mean?
I'm not an attorney.
Right. And they're worded by attorneys, and sometimes in language that can be interpreted in ways that we don't expect. So what we do is we look at the arguments in favor, the arguments opposed, who's given money to each side, who's endorsed each side, and then we try to encapsulate that into a, what does a yes vote mean? What does a no vote mean? And which one's conservative and which one's liberal?
That's good. Debbie, what do you say to people who have a real bitter taste in their mouths over the negativity and personal attacks, especially on the presidential level, and they feel like, I'm just not going to vote at all? And there are a lot of those people, and they're well-meaning people. But I just take a moment and speak to them in terms of iVoter Guide and their responsibilities.
Well, I look at it as a biblical responsibility. God calls us to be good stewards of everything he gives us. And as an American, being a salt and light and participating in government is a responsibility that we have as American citizens. We can't be salt and light, can't hide your light under a bushel. You've got to let your voice be heard. The way that the country goes, as much as we maybe not don't want it, happens at the government. And we need to elect people who share our values and will fight for those freedoms or are more closely aligned with our values. We're not going to get 100%, right? We just have to get to somebody who's more closely aligned with our biblical values on as many issues or as many policies. And I would vote not on the personality of the person. I'm not voting for a pastor. I'm not voting for a neighbor. I'm voting for what will they do? What are their policies? What have they done to show me what they're going to do in the future? Because candidates will say one thing and do something else. So look what they've done and be a good steward and do it with information, not emotion. Mm-hmm. And that's what iVoter Guide provides you, is that information to vote wisely.
And like you said, it's not just the presidential race. That's one small part of what's going on Election Day. I mean, a lot of state lawmakers are going to determine laws that make a real difference in how we live our lives and how our kids are handled at school and any number of things.
Actually, those races further down the ballot actually impact you more directly than the president and the Congress, because they're setting your tax rate. They're setting those curriculum for kids. So it's really important that you vote for all of those races and do it as be a good steward.
Now, tell us about some of the ways that you've designed iVoter Guide to be a resource for people who want to be a catalyst for their friends and family members to become active citizens. What sort of resources are there in iVoter Guide?
Well, we have a bunch of resources. So we have a voter guide, but we also have some take action items. So if you go to iVoterGuide.com and in the top menu bar, you'll see take action and scroll down. We've got resources for you to share with your church or with your neighborhood. It could be postcards. It could be yard signs. It could be maybe that you sign up for our email list, because we send you educational emails once a week just telling you about what does the Secretary of State do? What does the Bible say about immigration or parental rights? And it's designed to be short, informational, and shareable so that you find it helpful and you share it with your friends and your family. So they not only become more engaged on informed on the issues, but then they are aware of iVoter Guide when it's time to vote. So we've got links for you to register to vote. We've got find your polling place. Really, iVoter Guide is a one-stop resource of educational content, resources to share, and everything you need to know to vote wisely and to show up at the polls on time.
All right, super. Well, a lot of you who are listening are already engaged and involved, but I tell you what, iVoter Guide is a tool that you can use to be a hub of activity for your friends and neighbors. So you can take this information and take your friend and neighbor by the hand and say, come on, let's go vote, and use iVoter Guide to do that. Debbie Wuth, now president of iVoter Guide. Great work. Congratulations on such a wonderful resource, and thank you for being with us.
It was my pleasure.
There's a powerful film that's being released this month from the American Family Association. It's called Culture Warrior, and it's been 6 years in the making. With me is the film's director, M.D. Perkins, who's also Research Fellow of Church and Culture here at AFA. M.D., welcome.
Good to be with you, Jeff.
You and I talked back in March about the film, but for those who are not familiar with Culture Warrior, tell us what the film's about.
Culture Warrior is a documentary about Don Wildman, and the subtitle is Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, because we're talking about the history of Don, but more specifically, Don's involvement in the fight and the foundation of AFA, the founding originally as the National Federation for Decency, those initial concerns about immorality on television, raunchy TV shows and things like that, that grew into a concern over pornography and the proliferation of that in our society and the harmful impact of that, and all the other various culture war battles that Don was engaged in over his time leading the ministry.
6 years, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Give me a sense of why this project began in the first place.
Well, the idea was that we wanted to create a piece that would be a legacy piece about Don and the ministry, but also to really help us understand why what Don was doing mattered. And, you know, part of why it takes so long on a project like this, there's always a lot of little intricate details that go into creating a project like this. You know, I like to explain to people, making a movie is a bit like building a house and writing a book. Both of those things at the same time. You know, you're working with a lot of other people who are experts in certain aspects of the field, and you've got to coordinate across disciplines with other people, but you also do a lot of minutia detailed research and trying to articulate things in a way that's going to make sense to someone further down the line. And so there had been a couple of books that Don had written, but they didn't cover the full scope of his history and life. So we had to do a lot of first source research ourselves, reading back through the archives of the AFA Journal that go all the way back to the foundation of the ministry, reading a lot of the things that Don had written, listening to talks that he gave to try and understand not just what he was concerned about, but the way in which he addressed issues, the way he was concerned, the emphasis that he brought, so that all of those things could come through in the project like this, so that it could really be that legacy piece that would testify to who Don was and what his concern was for generations going forward, so that they would understand and know where that came from.
You know, and watching you do this research over the past year or so, you were really immersed in a lot of the history of AFA, but not only AFA, the history of the United States and our culture as Americans in where we've come morally since the sexual revolution of the 1960s. Yeah. So you really have a good picture in your mind. Is that what you wanted to convey into the film, was, okay, this is what America was like in those crucial early days of the culture war and kind of how one man responded to that?
Yeah, that was very important for me, Jeff, because to me, I think Don has been so misrepresented in the media throughout history, throughout his time. You know, he started off, he was a bit of a novelty. That's how he was treated by the national media. But then he began to have a little bit of success, and then that immediately turned on him. And so the way that he was presented nationally within the media was always as this kind of culture grouch, frustrated about things, angry, fundamentalist would be a term that people would throw around, even though Don would often say, I'm a United Methodist, I could never be called a fundamentalist. But it didn't matter. You know, the terms and those kinds of ideas have stuck and even are still sticking today in terms of how people and Christians think about the culture war and think about these certain touchstone battles within our society today. So it was important for me to place the context of Don, not just why he was concerned individually, but why he was right to be concerned about these things happening in society. Why was pornography such an issue? I mean, people forget about where these, how bad things actually were at certain points in time. I mean, we can say how much worse things may be now in certain ways. But I mean, even in the 70s and 80s, I mean, you're talking about pornography on the shelves at an airport or in the grocery store. You know, pornographic magazines just sitting there for anybody to pick up and
look
through.
With no cover on the front of them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about things like this that we don't even see right now in our world because men like Don Wildman stood up and spoke out against that. And so I think it's important for people to gain that little bit of historical perspective. And so I wanted to ensure that when you're watching this film, it's never just about Don. It's always about the bigger picture of what Don was fighting, because those battles continue today in many respects.
I want to follow up on that, because having come through all of this research, how do you see this film relating to the specific battles we're facing today?
It's fascinating, because at many times throughout the movie, as I was putting certain things together and watching a sequence, I was realizing things haven't changed that much in terms of the battles. Like, some of the details of the battles have changed, or the apparatus through which things are acquired. You know, pornography, for instance. We're not battling 7-Eleven and convenience stores selling magazines on the magazine shelves. Mm-hmm. But the problem of pornography is even starting to be recognized now by secular people who are talking about how young men are being destroyed through massive amounts of pornography intake. And not just young men, but women as well have taken on this kind of pornographic mindset, and it just becomes so normalized in society. Now we are seeing the fruits of things that Don was warning about 30 or 40 years ago. And now you actually have the evidence of what has this actually done to society. In a way that Don was prophesying that this would happen, mm-hmm. now we can look back and historically see that did happen. And so I think it is important now for us to recognize, really, Don was right on these fights. Don was right about pornography and the destructive impact. Don was right about the secular humanistic mindset that was shaping people through entertainment and television. Don was right about the homosexual agenda and the way that it was going to find its way into all these different facets of society and then force people to conform to that way of thinking and that way of speaking. And Don was right about all those things. So, we don't look at it now in terms of what might happen or what could happen. Yeah. And that's how Don was often portrayed, as just like, well, you don't really know. Well, now we can assess Don's arguments and his concern and say, yeah, that was legitimate. Yeah. And more people should have been paying attention. And now, maybe in hindsight, a lot of people will begin to stand up and speak out about these things even now, even if it feels overwhelming, because you think, well, things have gone so far. Well, that doesn't mean that there isn't still a place for Christians to speak up and to bear witness to biblical truth in the midst of it.
As a filmmaker who is a Christian, who loves the Lord, I know that you spent time praying and seeking the Lord on this. How have you seen the hand of God move and provide for you in the making of this film, in the way that was definitely, you would say, that could only happen because God did this?
Yeah. I love that you use the word provide, because when I think about what it means to be a Christian filmmaker, my perspective on it has changed a lot from in terms of trying to fit in a Christian message or worldview or things like that, to thinking bigger picture about who God is, mm-hmm. what he's called us to do, how we respond to him. And then within the process of filmmaking, you are reliant upon God throughout the process. So I think of it in terms of providential filmmaking. Like, you're dependent upon God to provide things at all these different points. And so just one, for instance, is we're making a movie about Don. I'm reading about things that he said. I'm seeing advertisements in old AFA journals about an event that he spoke at or something that was going to be televised. And I'm like, where is that tape? I haven't seen that tape, you know, and I'm sending Tim Wildman a message like, hey, where is this tape? He's like, I don't know. And I'm asking other people in the ministry, have you seen this? And then several months later, one of the engineers here at AFA within our radio department brings down a whole box full of old VHS tapes that he found in a closet that they were cleaning out because we were getting rid, we were starting to get out of that old building and, yeah. and come over to the new part of where AFA's headquarters is. I mean, it was the perfect thing that I needed at that moment. And there is no movie without this
material. And that was on its way to the trash bin.
That was on its way to the trash. And one of our engineers, yeah. in God's good providence, recognized, oh, they're making a documentary about this. They may need these old tapes. I'll just wheel down this whole dolly full of tapes.
That's great.
And Jeff, I mean, we wouldn't, like I said, we would not have a movie without that. Because Don was already in such declining health when we started this project. We were never going to be able to interview him. While he was living. But Don's voice is constantly throughout this project because it exists there in all of these archival snippets of Don on this talk show or Don giving this talk or Don speaking on the radio about the foundations of AFR and how that came into being. You know, you get all of this archival material put together. You get Don's voice in the time in which Don spoke and was arguing these things. And really, in one sense, I would say it's stronger than if we had interviewed him late in life and he doesn't remember all the details or he struggles to communicate certain things, you know? And so even God's providence in that, you know, is just time and time again, you see these little ways in which God is providing for you and giving you what you need, whether you prayed for it or not specifically, you know, God is just in his mercy allowing you to accomplish the work in the way that you intended to accomplish the work, which was with excellence, with honesty, with the full scope of presenting the story in a way that people would understand and be able to connect with emotionally mm-hmm. and intellectually. And so being able to do that, I mean, it's just God's kindness on us as we're trying to honor him with this project.
Yeah, that's well said. We look at biblical examples of men like Ezra. You look at Caleb and Joshua, and you see all of these men who believed the word of God, and they stood on it in spite of whatever happened. I think this film is especially strong in just the rough cut that I saw many, many months ago of stirring up courage in the hearts of people who watch this. And I think that's a strong biblical principle that courageous people breed other courageous people. Yeah. Is that what you hope people come away with when they watch this?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Don was so bold as a man of God, as a speaker, as a thinker. And you might have the tendency to think, well, that can't be me because I don't have that same gifting or I don't have that same communicative ability or even – I don't even see all the pieces that he sees and fits together. But regardless of whether you see yourself as a Don Wildman or not, I think part of Don's legacy really is his ability to inspire other people to feel like that they have a part in this. They don't have to stand up and be Don Wildman in, you know, in their version of it. But there's a part that they could play in this, whether it is making a call, whether it is sharing an article with somebody to try and convince somebody of a position or the danger of something or all of these different things. Don would often say, you know, one person can make a difference. And it isn't about you standing up and being him. It's about you doing whatever God has called you to do, whatever he's laid on your heart to do, right. Whatever he's given you as a point of concern and emphasis that is stirring up within you. And so that's what I hope people take away from this documentary is a recognition, one, that Don was right to be concerned, but two, that you can serve God in a way that is similar to Don in that you're trusting God. You know, Don had the saying, it's well worn here at AFA, God doesn't call us to be successful, he calls us to be faithful. Now, the beauty of that statement is it puts the emphasis on faithfulness, not on success or how we might define the success of an effort or a movement or, you know, some piece of action. But it's recognizing that God placed a burden on you to do something and you were compelled to do it. And out of faithfulness and obedience to God, you did it. And then you're trusting that God has whatever the results or fruit of that is, that's in his hands to determine the fruitfulness or the success, quote unquote, of that effort. Mm-hmm. And that's how we live as Christians. We live by faith. We're right. not living by the pragmatic action that accomplishes this result in the world. We're living by a trust in God to do His good pleasure through the things that we are trying to do in faithfulness and obedience to Him and His call.
Tell us about your team before we bring the interview to a close, because I know you got a great team around you, and you're at the point now where you're depending upon them to pull these last pieces together. Who is your team, and tell us about them?
Yeah, so there's Austin Brooks, who's our director of photography, but he also works with me as an editor. He's the head of AFS department, but he also handles a lot of the details of making sure everything is technically accurate and color correction and things, you know, these little minute adjustments that people don't know happen within the editing phase happen, you know, through Austin's touch. Maisie handles so much of our administrative interactions, especially as we're reaching out to archives and different facilities that have documents or pieces of footage that we're trying to use for the project. Kyle and John are our two audio guys, and they are responsible for helping to make sure that we have the right kinds of sound effects that happen underneath things. You know, you use a piece of footage, and if it plays silently, it's okay, but if you can add a little bit of ambient noise or a sound effect that kind of emphasizes that, it just sits with you differently as a viewer. And then we have BJ Davis, our music composer, who's writing fantastic music for this project, and a guy named Andrew Cherry did some illustrations for us that are kind of historical in nature to give you this little window into certain aspects of the movie that we weren't able to show visually through pictures or other things. So, yeah, it takes a lot of work to make a movie, a lot of people, a lot of different hands involved in the process. But, you know, it's fun, it's rewarding, and we hope that viewers will appreciate the time and effort and labor that we took to try and bring something together in a way that is presentable to them.
Let's tell people how they can watch the film. How can they get it? Where do we go, Michael?
Well, November 12th is kind of considered the big public release of this documentary.
Okay.
It will be available through a website called culturewarrior.movie. Culturewarrior.movie is the main website where we're driving people toward. But if you're interested to see this ahead of time, if you already give to the ministry and you're a Great Commission partner, you will have early access to this project. And if you want to have early access, you can become a Great Commission partner. And that gives you, you know, 2 weeks ahead of time, we're kind of making it available to people who have been longtime donors or are giving to the ministry in that way. And so it'll be available for online streaming. We'll also be starting to send DVDs out before the end of the year for people who want to be able to receive a copy and put it in at their house. So,
Okay. Yeah,
culturewarrior.movie.
Culture Warrior, the new film from American Family Association, speaking with our director, M.D. Perkins. M.D., thank you for being with us, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Don't miss next week's program as we look at the states with the most religious freedom. We'll hear from Dr. Mark David Hall of First Liberty. Then we'll hear what true science has to say about climate change. Dr. E. Calvin Beisner of the Cornwall Alliance will be with us. The Stand Radio is a companion to our monthly magazine, The Stand. Try it out for 6 months free. Visit afa.net/The Stand. Thanks for listening, and join us next week on The Stand Radio.